Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Gabby Reese, and welcome to the show. Hi, everyone. It's my favorite time. It's a podcast by myself. A lot of times when I'm riding my slider up the hill, I have these thoughts, and I thought, well, maybe this would be a good time to do a solo podcast. I just talk about navigating positively an injury and also having a new approach to my training for the next few months, really isolating something I want to work on and saying, okay, I'm going to forego all the things I'm good at and comfortable and work on this for the next 3 months. And that was stimulated by a conversation I had with PJ Nestler on a podcast a few weeks ago, and how I'm continuously working on getting out of very old narratives. I mean, it's amazing how we can hold ourselves at a time that was so short and we could extend it throughout our entire life. Instead of, like, you know, really coming to terms with that it's over and sort of just looking at my convictions. Like, if I really think and believe something, am I getting as informed and educated on these beliefs as I can? Not for argument's sake, but really just for my own understanding. I mean, isn't that right? Like, if you're on the debate team, you had to really understand the other side's point of view as well or better than your own. And I think that's the same with learning. Like, well, okay, you think this way, or you feel that way, or you believe that way, and why? And are you expanding that? Are you just locking into one belief and then stopping there? So if you've got some time, you know, hang out with me, and I hope you enjoy. For 2 years, I think we've been saying, you know, it's sort of a crazy time, and in fact, it almost seems weirder, right? Like, with gas prices and how combative it is and Roe v. versus Wade and just all of it, it just seems like things are winding up even more and more. And so, you know, there's a lot of things I think it's so important to be informed. And then at a certain point, I also think it's just like, okay, what are the things I can do? And, you know, how I react and what I believe or how I treat other people, and if I'm taking care of myself. And I'm going to be the most obvious person to say, oh, you should, you know, make sure you're taking care of your health. And I know that's obvious, but if that's sort of one of the things, a tiny little thing that I contribute, because that's just my genuine background, then that's what I'll do. And it's just to remind you, whether it's adding a breathing practice or making sure you can make better decisions nutritionally or not eating out of stress or with all this insanity. And it's summer. But, you know, that's the other thing. I want to talk about the training because it's warm right now. And I think it's really important to take advantage of that. So I'll just share with you some of the things maybe you've heard or you haven't through some of these podcasts. I have a torn labrum. I was supposed to get surgery. And as the universe does, you know, conspire for me, I had a 1 week, a perfect storm of why I didn't. So I got some exercises from a young lady named Elvon Trapp, who was also doing some, you know, work on me, which I normally don't do. I'm actually really reluctant to do once a week kind of self-care. It's ridiculous, but it's true. So what happened was, she was suggested by someone I really admire, and he said she's now lives in California. So I started seeing her once a week and she gave me exercises. And then I saw a gentleman from Colorado who was doing dry needling pretty much almost in the same week. And he said, you know, you might have had this tear for 10 years. You just have really angry muscles. So why not do some other things, do some other exercises? Imagine that, do something new. And simultaneously, there's a company called Elliptigo, and they had heard about my hip and said, you know, we've helped some people with torn labrums with this Elliptigo. And it's actually very good for uphill. And I live on a hill. So I started incorporating that 4 days a week, getting work done once a week and doing my homework. And literally, when I tell you, a 6 month issue I've had started feeling better almost immediately, 8-9 days, something like that. And I'm going to continue to add homework. So I guess my point of even sharing this again is we all have something going on. Some things can't, surgery is unavoidable, but I also think if we're looking for answers or new input, it's out there. And so I have been able to not have surgery, and I had to be willing to try something else. And along with that is last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I did a podcast with PJ Nestler, and I work with PJ on XPT, but you know, he's been training athletes and performance people for a really long time. And one of the things that we talked about that felt so important to highlight was, let's say we want to work on resilience, so how we're moving and not always being on a sagittal or linear plane. We can't do that just sort of with everything else. Or let's say we want to be stronger. We can't kind of do that, or more flexible, or our cardio's increase. So what we really talked about, and this is something that I'm kind of I'm putting back into focus in my life, is this. In order of importance in my physical training life, what do I want to work on? And for me personally, it's going to be, believe it or not, resilience and flexibility. And I have a long body. And so at times, this is the stuff I don't want to do. Just, I'm not really great at it. So what I've decided, and the hip really encouraged me, was I'm going to take 8 to 12 weeks. So this is what the proposition is. Whatever it is that you decide, maybe you want to be stronger, maybe you want to, you know, work up your cardio, whatever, is kind of focus on that as the meat of your training during the week. And then, yeah, you're going to do a little bit of something else. So if you're doing your cardio, yeah, you're going to lift a little and you'll probably, you know, do some other things. But for me, I'm going to work on my functional movement, my resilience, and my flexibility, because my flexibility is why I'm always running into, you know, injury train. I'm decently strong. You can always be stronger, but I'm decently strong and my cardio's okay. So those are the things that I'm going to have the confidence to put away for a little bit. So for the next 3 months, that's what I'm doing. So I want to invite you, if there's something that you've been thinking about, like let's say you're a yogi and you go, you know what, I'd like to be a little stronger, that you just don't keep doing yoga. Go for the next 8 or 12 weeks, I'm going to write down a strategy and I'm going to figure out a way to focus on that. So that was something out of that show that was just a great reminder. Like we end up nowhere, and then PJ's like, and then you end up backwards from where you were like the year before. And that's the other thing, is I know that I can't be younger, but I sort of believe that I could be improved. Certainly my flexibility could be better in a year than it is now, but what am I doing to make that happen? So I just want to bring that up and encourage you, while it is warm and inspiring out, there's more energy, there's sun, to start now. So if you're not in a regular routine, get going, but do it with a strategy. Be thoughtful. I think it's hard just to show up and then what do you end up doing? You don't, you know, a little of this, a little of that. And then kind of what happens? Not much. So, and that's for everybody. People who know what they're doing, people who are in great shape, people who are sitting on the couch. It's, in some ways, it's not that different. And I think why I was inspired to do the podcast was I was listening to Byron Katie. And I was listening to Loving What Is on audio going up the hill. And I use it as a tune-up, because sometimes my perspective, it's an everyday thing. It's like some days I wake up, I'm positive, I'm good. And other days it's like I question myself and my decisions. And, you know, we joke like you you don't like anyone in your family. Well, except whoever's not living with you at that time. And you just, it's like you got to stay on top of it. So I'll listen to it because sometimes I think it helps me get to the place where I can do that self-inquiry better. And I can also have a laugh at myself at how ridiculous some of my own beliefs are. And, you know, Katie's always reminding us that the suffering comes from confusion and from being in conflict with reality. And it's hard to know what in certain ways is reality right now, but there's other things that certainly we can look at. So it brought me to a story. She talked about this gentleman who was in the war from the age of 6 to 12 in the book. And he had gone through a period of, you know, worrying about losing his parents. And he was through a series of bombings, and he sought refuge inside of a building that ended up collapsing, and he got a concussion. But overall, he was okay. And the bombing lasted for another 2 weeks after that. Fast forward to 55 years down the road, and he was talking about how this impacted him. And she framed very lovingly and delicately, because you're not going to, you know, put that, you're not trying to minimize the impact of something. But she asked him, and it really resonated with me, like, well, how long did the bombing last after that? And he said 2 weeks. And she's like, right. And you've pretty much been being bombed for the last 55 years. And, you know, she asked him about his parents, and he said, yeah, I didn't have them. And so she goes, so you believed you couldn't survive without your mom or your dad? And is that true? And he was like, I survived. And she was like, no, yes or no, is it true? And she's like, look at how strong that boy was, and here you are. So it brought me to my own story. And I've done what I have thought is a reasonable job. You know, when I was two, my parents were not together for very long, probably like till I was a year and a half or something. And my father's from Trinidad and my mother's from Long Island. They met in California. And then when I was two, I was in Mexico City with my mother, who strangely was training dolphins. And I got whooping cough, and everyone sort of agreed it would probably be better for me to live with my aunt and Uncle Joe. And so when I was two, I was sort of brought to them in Long Island, New York. They were childhood, you know, teenage friends, neighborhood friends of my mother, and they raised me for 5 years. And very, very loving, tough, you know, but loving. Like, you know, when someone puts your hair up for school and walks you to the bus stop or meets you at the bus stop, you know, things are pretty good. So here they took me in, and now having had my own children, I was very precocious, which is a nice way of saying I was probably a little bit bratty for sure. And so here I'm not even, you know, their biological kid, and they take me in and love me and put up with my shit. And then when my mom certainly felt more prepared and she was getting remarried to my stepfather, who was quite lovely, I moved back in with her. And so, you know, it wasn't easy for me, I'll be honest. We're very different people, my mother and I. And you know, that expression of like someone has done the best they can. But after re-listening to Katie's book, it just reminded me, because I've really worked on trying to release this narrative, like my mom shouldn't have left me. Oh, was that true? Well, actually, maybe it worked out really great for me. Right. And also, I didn't mention my father passed away during that time when I was five in a plane crash. So, you know, and I don't mean this coldly, but he certainly got off the hook as a hero. So I didn't have some weird example, male, bad example. My Uncle Joe was a guy of very few words, very loving, taught me to ride a bike. My dad dies, so he gets to be a hero. And so I went into adult life with kind of a clean slate or a blank slate of what, in my case, a male partner would be. And it worked out, you know? And so I guess why I'm bringing this up is I know that all of us have some narrative, unless you're just, you know, you've either done the work or you're really, your EQ is off the chart and it comes easy for you to be like, oh, you know what? It's all okay. Because it's our thoughts and our beliefs that are torturing us. It is not the actual event, even when it's awful. And obviously people have gone through much worse than something like what I went through. And I fully acknowledge that. But for each of us, you know, our pain is our pain. But there's something so beautiful about the opportunity to to not only let it go, but just there's usually so many amazing things that come out of these difficult times that we're missing or we're not living in because we're so caught up in our thoughts about what happened. And it just holds us back. And I used to think that. I used to go, you know, I felt frustrated for 17 years and then I moved out at 17 and I went on to play college volleyball. I had an incredible coach and I got to work in fashion and live in New York and travel around. Like, it was pretty good. And so I was like, you know, a couple bumpy years for like a really overall fun adulthood with an imperfect, but, you know, a relationship that reflects me, I'll take it. And instead of always living in that, in those old ideas, it's so strange. And I probably was raised with a, or as a reaction to the situation, like a scarcity mentality. So sometimes it's like, I'm so rigid about certain things for absolutely no reason. There's no proof, nor has there been for so many years. So I guess I want to invite you, whatever those things are in your life. And she has some very good examples about it for our children too. Even like the hard, like really hard shit, like kids on drugs or, you know, suicidal children. It's like our thoughts about the thing and then how we react to those thoughts doesn't make the situation better. And it doesn't make us be able to be present when it actually is good. And I just thought it was a really helpful tool. So I just wanted to share that with you because it's exhausting and it's, there's just a freer, better way, and a way that, again, is consistent with reality. And it's really, that's where I want to live, you know, to the best of my ability. And then it started yesterday. Laird and I, we don't really fight that much. For whatever reason, I just think we've been together a long time. I think both of us are not bickering type of people. It's like, hey, is there an issue? Let's talk about it. I don't mean it's better or worse. It just seems to be what the way it is. However, yesterday, and we've been together a lot. I think a lot of couples have been together unusual, you know, sort of more often. And, you know, that has always its own dynamics. But yesterday, you know, Laird's frustrated. There's no surf. He wants to foil and foil only. And there's just not a lot of opportunities for that. And he could be surrounded by people who are, for example, there's a big swell coming to Tahiti, but he is sort of like, but I've done that. And I'm looking for new adventures and new things to learn or do. And so it got me thinking too, when we compare ourselves to the outside world. So for example, we have a young gentleman, Luca, who lives with us. And literally, he's like a son and he's a godsend because he's young and gung-ho. And he you know, he'll play, go train and play and do things with Laird. But he's at a different place on the arc. So at his age, going to Tahiti to tow and surf is exciting. Or, you know, a couple of weeks ago, he went to Fiji. For Laird, being, you know, chronologically or biologically a lot older, he's done a lot of that. But then he's pissed that somehow, like, it's still fun and interesting for Luca. Because it's like, well, how come I can't get that feeling? And then we talked about it today. Of course, we had our, like, I think I slept in Brody's room last night. Tempur-Pedic mattress was very soft. I just needed, you know, like, you just need space. And we talked about it today, that when I don't compare what I'm going for to the outside world. So for example, at my age, I wouldn't recognize that I was middle-aged or older if there weren't like very young people in a certain way, if that makes sense. You know, Laird wouldn't be frustrated as much. He's still always waiting for conditions about that he can't surf the way he wants to or where he wants to or on what he wants to, if he didn't have the comparison of like that whole group's in Australia doing this and that group's over there in Tahiti doing that. So it's that thing of how do we pull out of using what's going on around us to dictate how we're responding to what we're experiencing. Because for me, quite frankly, I'm pretty good. Like if I can keep seeing people I love and, you know, have a good dynamic with my family and learn new things, I don't know that I need to go out in the world and like kill it. I mean, you want to, because it creates more options, if that makes sense, like especially creatively, right? Like it creates more options when you have momentum that you could be like, oh, I want to talk to that person, or I want to go see this thing. So for me, it interests me for that reason, because it's like, I love the idea of having options, you know, for my life. But as far as like I'm number one or like more zeros or whatever, that doesn't interest me so much, as long, especially when I can tune out what the world is telling me. I mean, think about somebody who went to the Olympics a couple times, let's say. And there are those people who are, it's really fun for them. So I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but don't you think in a way, at a certain point, once you did it or did it a couple times, you'd be like, I'm good. But instead we get this thing where we're like, oh, I've got to go show them I can still do it. Oh, I've got to show them I'm still the best, or whatever that is, versus really asking yourself like, well, what do you want to do? And if it is that, great. But if it's something new that also takes time and energy, by the way, to start something new, maybe I should begin that. So it could be being a CEO, it could be in athletics, it could be in music, it could be whatever. It's like, who are we continuing to do it for? And so that's just really shown up for me lately, which is to be clear about, or to at least be honest with myself, whatever that is. Even if it's like, hey, I want to do this because I want attention. Great, no problem. But at least it's like stays clear and honest. Or I want to get this because it's like makes a lot of money. Okay, fine. And that has its own set of responsibilities. But, you know, that's what we're doing. We're all down here learning. That's how we learn. We go through it. This podcast is brought to you by Ritual. I personally have been taking their multivitamin since, well, right when COVID started. I needed one and I learned all about Ritual, and I've been taking it ever since. And they know, listen, that women really do need to be a part of the scientific research. And they conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. And the results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43%. We all know the importance of vitamin D. And omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. So they are really very big, not only on the science, but making sure that the ingredients are traceable, clean, and in a bioavailable form, which means your body knows what to do with the actual nutrients once it gets it. And the way they did it is so simple. They took 9 key nutrients in 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption. And it's really easy because it's gentle on an empty stomach. If you're rushing around, you can't be like, oh, I have to get my vitamins, but I need to eat first. Even has a nice little minty essence right at the end after you take it, so you don't have those weird, I call them vitamin burps. I'm not loving it. And Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO, project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp. And like I said earlier, everything is traceable. So no more funny business, nothing shady. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. You can get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/Gabby. That's Ritual, ritual.com/Gabby. You can start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today at ritual.com/Gabby for 25% off.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
I've been thinking about a lot with the news, and I spend a lot of time reading and kind of trying to study things. And I wouldn't say I don't watch conventional news, so to speak. I'll like listen to Barry Weiss or Crystal and Sagar have Breaking Points, just things where maybe there's multiple points of view, even different than mine, but there seems to be an effort in finding like some semblance of, you know, what is happening, even though that can be hard. And I would say that we live in a time that people respond pretty strongly to headlines. And if it was possible to say, hey, if you think you're having a feeling about something, which is great, I think it's really, I really appreciate passion. I happen to live with a person who, you know, I mean, every topic they're passionate about. I wish I was more like that. You know, Laird just is fired up. But to be informed, like, go like, I'm starting to feel this way or think this way, so I'm going to pay attention to all of the things below the headlines, not just the headlines, because I think we're moving into a time where everyone's jumping on every bandwagon, their own or other, and it would feel more powerful or genuine if people had a real point of view and information about what they were in fact either protesting or lobbying for, or whatever, because we do live in an unusual time where, you know, there's a lot of yelling, but I feel like if you scratched below the surface, a lot of people wouldn't really actually understand what they were yelling about. So by all means, let's all stay involved, but let's also try to understand and keep understanding, keep learning, keep growing. Because also, by the way, we could believe something, and by learning, we might continue to adapt our point of view. And that's pretty great when we can keep that flexibility and pliability. So that's really been loud. I'm sure a lot of you saw the, this was interesting to me when Biden, you know, was on the prompter and read the prompter and then read the lines on the prompter and, you know, repeat the line and what have you. And then, you know, the White House tries to come out and say, let me repeat the line. I think if we can practice in our personal life, oh, I blew it. I made a mistake, which is hard to do. I mean, it's not hard to do. We're human. We'd be teaching everyone else that too. So I know that yelling and being aggravated is definitely not the answer, but taking ownership is pretty liberating. And we're not teaching ourselves that. An interesting interaction I had recently with a very young high school volleyball player, very good, very, very kind, very nice, very diligent, very tough. Like, I'm sure this is a person who could, you know, take constructive criticism and just is like a soldier, right? And anyway, we were talking and she was curious why her coach had put her with this partner. She wanted to play with this girl, and the other girl wants to play with her as well. They've been partners in the past. Who knows? The coach could have a myriad of reasons, which actually are excellent. Like, hey, I'm going to maybe put you with someone you're not as comfortable with to make you better so that your tool belt is getting filled out, because that's what happens, right? Like, sometimes you can work with somebody who, if they're not as capable or competent, it actually gets you to rise to the occasion, and this is how we gain experience and what have you. However, this young lady, she wanted the information. And so she went to the coach and approached the coach, and the coach was not even going to entertain the conversation. And this is a young lady who she is going to approach it incredibly respectfully. And I think all young people and all of us should be able to question authority respectfully, period. I just think it's, I mean, listen, unless there's a fire and the guy's saying, get on the ladder now, short of those types of scenarios, I think we should be able to respectfully say, I would just like a greater understanding of your thinking of this decision. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And to teach young people, because then it doesn't have to get that they feel like they do have to be, you know, sort of at a 10 to finally say something, but they can go, oh, you know, this I was questioning, especially when you're working that hard, right? Well, the coach didn't entertain it. When I was talking to the young lady about it, there was something interesting that popped out. She said to me that when the coach walked away, an adult coach walked away, it made her uncomfortable. And I was like, it made you uncomfortable? And she was like, yes. She's a senior in high school. And I was like, it didn't make you angry. It didn't make you pissed off. It didn't make you upset. It didn't make you confused. Like something else, it made you uncomfortable. And I'm fascinated by how this word has become this thing that we can also back out of, right? Like if she had said to the coach, oh, this makes me uncomfortable, the coach could then confront her and say, well, what do you mean? Well, no, I'm just saying I'm uncomfortable. It's like a here nor there in a lot of ways. And I don't want my daughters or my son, I don't have a son, but if I did, I don't want young people to use that as a universal word so that they're saying it, but they're not really saying it, but they can back out of it. And sometimes, quite frankly, it gets thrown around too easily. You know what I mean? Like you go, hey, can you pass me the salt? Oh, I'm uncomfortable the way that you asked me. It's like, are you serious? So I'm saying it from both sides. Like they throw it out there, like I'm uncomfortable. But then conversely, when you have a person who is really trying hard, this young lady is trying hard to show up in her life as a conscious person. Like she's working hard, she treats people well. She has, you know, she's deserves that space. She has earned that space, especially in this dynamic with the coach. And so at any rate, she said to me, yes, I'm uncomfortable. And I was like, I think it's important that if you have somebody young in your life, that you identify this, you call this out when you see it and encourage them either way. Encourage them to say, no, tell me how you really feel. That's how we develop the skills, right? We practice, we blow it, we try a new way, we learn, and that's what communication is. Or they say, you know, it made me uncomfortable when you said that. It's like the other side is to teach them also that sometimes we have to be able to roll with things and not react, because things are coming at us all the time. It's, you know, life is great and it is hard. And it seems right now we're all getting squeezed just a little more, whether it's financially, emotionally, spiritually, you know, culturally, like our togetherness is sort of being compromised. That we have to teach young people, I think, and continue as adults, hopefully, to be good examples, because that's the other side of it, is it's on us also to be good examples. Because the people we have out there that are leading, that are supposed to be some of the examples, were the main, you know, you're the example in your everyday life, they're not being particularly honorable. So if you have somebody that works with you, or it's your kid, or, you know, just a young person you're around, maybe point that out, because they should be allowed. I guess it would be scary to have an opinion right now, right? Everybody's got, they have all the opinions online, but then when you say it out in the world, it's like you could get it for really saying, this is how I feel. But we can't lose that. I mean, that authenticity is imperative. Like, how are we going to understand each other and make improvements if we can't have, you know, respectful disagreement, which doesn't come from I'm uncomfortable? It's like, oh my God, it's like a slow death. I don't know if you all have been thinking about this at all or seeing it, but there's an interesting thing that goes on too, this phenomenon right now, especially because of social media, and you have people in pockets where they have a lot of followers or whatever, where it's like this huge self-importance, right? And I do think there's a verse in the Bible I like, and this is by no means a religious, you know, point of view. It's just that, you know, sort of God knows every hair on everyone's head, right? Which would, for me, just screams like we're all so precious and valuable, all of us. And yet, simultaneously, the teaching of when we can get rid of like that I thinking, because that's where a lot of the suffering does come in. And I can loop that back to Katie's book of Loving What Is, which it's like when we are associating with the I, it's it's kind of a, there's such a, so much limitation. So I feel like with social media is we've got a world full of famous people, and they're sort of a level of self-importance. And then, you know, conversely, it's like, how do we change these gears where it's like, for the collective good, what is for the collective good? And then also, how do we sort of care enough about ourselves that we are important in that way? It's like sliding in and out of those gears quickly. I feel like now we're all in the eye a little bit more, and that's part of why there's a craziness, because then anytime we hear something different than what we think or believe, we're so offended and we can't handle it, versus like, oh, okay, you know. And then how do we focus on the places and spaces that we all share? Like, what can we do about those places, like school and work and medical care and like these things that, you know, and what people want to do in their private lives, or how they want to eat, or what's the name of their God, or who they want to have sex with? Like, why can't we just leave that? Like, why can't that just be, you know, leave that alone? But now they've got so I, and my opinion is so important, and what I think and believe is so important. And it's like, it is and it isn't. And I've just seen how that volume has sort of been turned up a little bit more. I mean, I guess just an observation. I did an interview with Dr. Jeffrey Bland, and one of the takeaways, I know, microbiome, how many times can we talk about it? However, if over 60% of your immune system is in your microbiome, it seems pretty important. And one of the things he talked about was the things that can support the immune system, and omega-3 came up. I mean, obviously, if you're a vegan, there are very good alternatives now. So that's exciting. But there is the importance of omega-3. And hopefully you guys are still on just a basic protocol of like a vitamin D, a zinc, a magnesium, and quercetin. And most of us are, if we are taking quercetin, taking 500. But after interviewing about this, Dr. Perlmutter, you know, he takes 1,000. So dealing with uric acid and other. So I just want to bring that up as a reminder, because I know we've been at it now for 2 years, but it's really important. And, you know, these strains, they're more contagious, and I'm don't feel particularly afraid of getting them. But if they are more contagious, then we have to stay diligent in reinforcing our immune system. But anyway, I think in this time of heightened, it just does feel very chaotic. And I don't mean it like, ooh, it's so chaotic. I just mean it just feels very, like there's just an extra amount of chaos that if I could invite you to find the ways that center you. And everyone is different, right? Some people like going full throttle, you know, and scaring themselves and like, oh, okay, I got it out. And then they're calm. Other people, it's like, hey, I center myself and I meditate, or I have a breathing exercise, or I go take a walk in nature, or I spend time with animals, whatever it is how are we doing that right now? So if I could just re-encourage you to continue to take care of yourself. If you come across somebody that you can get into a hassle with, really ask yourself, is it worth it? Because it probably isn't. And the more all of us can be practicing that and loving each other. Because what we're being blasted, I don't actually think is what most of us feel. And so we just have to just keep at it and just keep showing up. I joke a lot about that I use aggressive manners. And so when I see people, I'm like, good morning. Because I'm making everybody say hello to me and connect with me when I go to the store, because I just, that's what we have, you know, like we have each other. And, you know, if you have a family and you have friends and your health, then you're like in bonus rounds. But we also have the strangers. We're all, you know, connected. And so I just want to just put that in your ear a little bit. So I'm committing to my new practice. It's been about Well, the biking and such I've been doing for about 3 weeks, but the flexibility, which, you know, I'd rather lift cement blocks, literally. I'm going to be doing more for the next 8 to 12 weeks. And I won't lie, I have a luxury of, I have a Pilates table by Legree Fitness. They have at-home units, and that's helping me do it. So if there's something you've been wanting to work on to gain, what's stopping you? What can you do to add it? And if there is a story that you're holding on to, is there a way? Can you do the self-inquiry? Again, the book that really has helped me is Loving What Is, making sure you're doing your nutrition. And finally, I will also say I'm doing an interview in a couple of days that will come out after this with Arthur C. Brooks. He had to reschedule. I had read his book many weeks ago already called Strength to Strength. And it's an excellent read. And if you're at all in a transition professionally, let's say you've done one thing already, like pretty good, or maybe you've been doing something for a while and you were very good at it, and now maybe it's becoming harder, this could be a really interesting read for you. So it's called Strength to Strength. It's a really great book talking about fluid intelligence and crystallized intelligence. So that's all I have, except to say that, you know, we're here now. I mean, if you're listening to this, you're here right now. So everything's probably pretty good. And I just send my best to each of you. And if you are navigating challenges, which we all are, just that hopefully you don't feel alone in that. Thanks for hanging out with me.
That wraps it up for today. Make sure to follow us on Spotify for free episodes and subscribe to The Gabby Reece Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me at Gabby Reece on Instagram and Twitter. Aloha.